So what did Skibbley, and welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's. I just want to shout out to whomever laid down some storage on my Spotify podcast. I saw it go from 25 to 26. So I'm seeing you guys. I'm checking them out, and I appreciate those that are willing to give me a little bit of love there. So Spotify doesn't give the opportunity to leave a review and like a name so that I can shout you out more, but I want to thank you very much. And if you want to go on over to Apple Podcasts and do the very same thing and say something, I can definitely shout you out in that regard. Today, we're going to be getting back into a bunch of etymologizing and looking at some sentences that I've created, and then taking a word that we're going to etymologize out of that sentence and then break it apart, do a little bit of math some words, and skibbity beep, 1, 2, 3. We're going to find the answers, as my students very well know. So the first one, Tommy. In fact, if you guys have never seen Tommy, that's such a cult classic, homage to The Who. But anyways, Tommy was among the first movies to use quadraphonic sound. All right, so what is quadraphonic sound? Because quadraphonic is what we're going to break down in this sentence. The first element is a bass, aka quadra. What do you think that means? Well, a quadrant has four sides, so I would say quadra refers to four. It's a Latin bass meaning four, in fact. Note, please, though, that when combining a vowel, because it's not just quadra, it's quadra, that A, which signals there's another bass following which. And that bass is phon, coming from phonos, which means sound or voice in Greek. So this word is what we call a hybrid breed, because it's taking both Latin and it's Greek, and then it's smashing them together. If you guys didn't realize, a lot of these fancy-dancy $10 words are just the culmination of a Greek and a Latin word smashed up together to make the English words. So as we all very well know, English is kind of this trench coat of a language, and we just shove all these other languages inside the trench coat, and that's what's made up English. So yeah, if you didn't know, now you know. Phonos referring to sound. So far we have four, and then sound, and then the final element is an ick, which refers to pertaining to. And so the part of speech of this word takes on an adjective, that ick meaning pertaining to, adjectival in formation. So what do you do, and meaning, what do you do when you think of quadraphonic, or what do you think it means? It sounds like sounds that are being produced four different ways somehow, through four separate channels, perhaps. Actually, yes. The definition, according to Almighty Google, is pertaining to sound reproduction using four channels separately recorded and then replayed around the listener, quadraphonic. I wouldn't expect you to arrive to that exact definition, but four sounds pertaining to is essentially what quadraphonic means, and there we go. So our next sentence here that I have for you: while low-temperature superconductivity gets all the press, advances are also being made in pyroconductivity. Okay, what are the word elements here starting from basically the top, the beginning? So first we have pyro, a base meaning fire, with the combining vowel O. It's Greek, which then rolls into our next prefix, which is con. This is a Latin prefix meaning with, enter, or together. Yet again, we have two hybridizations, taking both Greek and Latin and throwing them into the same word. Then another base, this time the Latin word duct, meaning to lead, coming from duco, ducere, ductum, ductum being the supine form, the fourth principal part. And at the end of this etymological boa constrictor, we have two suffixes. We have IVE, tending to, and ITE, the quality of, conductivity. Due to the breakdown, we know it's a noun. So what's the etymological definition here? The quality of, tending to, leading together, coming from the conduct, through fire. What's being conducted, do you think? How about electricity in this case, right? We have pyro, fire, con meaning together and or with, ducto meaning to lead, and then IVE tending to the quality of ITY. So an important area of scientific research hinges on making electricity flow from place to place without any resistance or loss of power. So in fact, we know this happens at very low temperatures. If you didn't know, I love me some sciencey stuff. And, you know, everybody thinks that I can't be sciencey because I'm so classically oriented, but you're wrong. Sorry. Haha. The question is, though, does it happen at high temperatures as well, too? As we had also talked about, that it happens at very low temperatures. So the very hyper long hybridized mess known as pyroconductivity refers to, according to almighty Google, the reduction in electrical resistance in the presence of high temperatures. Okay. Well, wow, that's quite a mouthful. If you didn't know, now you know. Superconductivity, super, refers to above in Latin. So superconductivity is just above what is being led with and or is pertained to. All right, let's do the next one. The Sudandry of women, authors like George Eliot let them reach a larger Victorian audience. Okay, the first element here is sud. Pseudo, right? False. It's not a prefix. Remember that. And the second element here is another base, andro. This is where we get androgyny. This is where we get androgynous. Androgen. Andro refers to man and or male. And then the last element, well, that's very easy. It's just the suffix y, the quality of. Making this a noun meaning what? Well, if we do A plus B plus C, we get the quality of being a false man. What is George Eliot? Or who is George Eliot? What's George Eliot? Well, in fact, the woman author, what is she doing here? She's pretending to be a man, isn't she? In order to reach a larger Victorian audience, because I'm sure back in that day, because we've had such male chauvinism take precedence in our history, that we've been very, very neglectful towards our very, very smart women who had to do things that were very, very tactful, like Sudandry. Which is the use of masculine names as a cover by a woman author. Okay? If you didn't know, now you know. Sudandry. All right, let's dive into our next one. Metaphors are pleasurable accessories, which are supererogatory when one comes down to the business of understanding what is said. Supererogatory. Where do we begin here? That is quite the mouthful. Well, what do I do when the beginning of the word doesn't break up easily? Is I rather go to the back and start etymologizing from there. So we're going to work from right to left in this case. The last element of this word, the suffix bu, meaning tending to, means it's an adjective. So let's define it that way rather. And in front of that is another suffix ate, which means that the verb forming suffix to, which you can safely ignore in this definition, in fact. Continuing on though, from our movement from left to, or from right to left rather, the next element of this space is rog. Rog here means to ask. So, what's left at the front of this word here is super, which is not a regular form. Can we break this up? Well, we got super, which is a prefix in Latin that means above or over. But that still leaves that E, and you can't omit any letter when you're etymologizing a word. Is E a Latin form? Oh, yes, 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 it is. It's the abbreviated form of X. Remember when we were talking about eccentric, out of the center? When you're eccentric, you're definitely not normal. You are out of the norm, essentially, is what it means. So X meaning out of or from. So then now let's try and etymologize this word as easily as we can after that big old mess of working through that. So tending to, ori, ask, rog, out of, or out, e, above, super. presumably over and above some standard or expectation. So go back to the sentence. Let's say, let's see what we had said here. So metaphors are what? They're asking for more than what's necessary in the simple understanding of language, essentially, right? Metaphors are pleasurable accessories, which are supererogatory when one comes down to the business of understanding what is said. So there you go. Oh, they're above what's asked for, is essentially pleasurable accessories. That is superfluous, but we'll totally disagree with that statement. Well, at least I will. You don't have to, but I totally agree with the statement. But at least the point is clear. As such, next one that we have here is Pythagoras believed in metempsychosis, which even identifying himself in tandem with a Homeric hero who lived centuries before him. What is metempsychosis? Well, let's get into it. This word is all Greek, isn't it? But not Greek to you, now that we know how to etymologize so much better. Ha, gotcha. The first prefix is meta. Remember, beyond, after, or what has changed. The second prefix is m, which means within, like empathy. When you empathize with someone, you feel within them. And then the base is psych, which means soul or mind. The O is a combining vowel, which suggests that there should be another base, but there isn't actually. There's a suffix, which is cis, the state of. So, well, that's unusual, but I suppose saying metempsychosis isn't easy or appealing either. So throw in an O because, well, why not? Greek apparently has an endless supply of them. But let's figure out the part of speech. It's obviously a noun, aka the state of. So what's the etymological definition here then? The state of a soul being after something in something else, essentially. Excuse me. What does the sentence imply then? Well, if Pythagoras thought he was a person who... thought he was a person who lived and presumably died long ago, and then the implication of after is clearly after death, but in or into what, essentially? That's the question here. What could a person's soul go into after death? Well, I don't know, the sky, the ethers. How about another person, though? I guess so, because that's exactly what metempsychosis pertains to. So Pythagoras believed that he was a reincarnated Homeric hero, which means the definition of metempsychosis is reincarnation, essentially. Big words, simple concepts, weird ideas. As I say, $10 fancy-dancy words just really mean rather simple things. And that's when we are able to command our language even more better. How about reincarnation, though, that we just talked about and how metempsychosis is essentially reincarnation? Well, the noun reincarnation comes from the Latin roots, re, meaning back or again, and incarnare in Latin, which means to make flesh. So now to cap it off, our T-I-O-N suffix refers to what? Well, essentially the condition of, state, or quality of. Therefore, etymologically, we have the state of making flesh, the state of T-I-O-N, making flesh, incarna, again, re. So the word reincarnation doesn't have to be a literal birth, however. The term can be used to mean a more figurative reinvention of birth, but essentially it's the state of making flesh again. And that's what it means etymologically. One more. Almost as obnoxious as bad grammar itself are hypercorrections, such as between you and I. The prefix here is Greek, hyper, meaning over and or excessive. There's another prefix too, this time a Latin one, cor, which means it's actually an assimilated form of con, meaning with or completely. Then a Latin base rect, coming from erectus, meaning right and or straight, like erectus abdominis, rectus meaning straight and upright, abdominis referring to of the abdominal muscles or of the abdomen. So they are the abs that keep you upright. And if you didn't have your abs, your six-pack abs, you just fold over. In the Latin suffix ion, the action of, making this word clearly a noun. And what's a hypercorrection? Well, look at the sentence. What does it suggest? Well, for starters, a correction that isn't correct. Between you and me is correct grammar. Between you and I is wrong. So this word must represent an attempt to sound correct, but that leads to creating something incorrect, something that sounds, or something that someone who doesn't understand grammar, rather, would say, essentially, right? Between you and I, that's incorrect, because between you and me, because between is taking on, it's a preposition, so we have to create that object of the preposition. And I don't say you see I, you say you see me, right? Using I, because you know that saying things like me and my friend are going to a movie is wrong, but me and my friend and I are going is right. But then because of that, you start using I instead of me everywhere, and even when me is right. And in this case, me is right, which sounds terrible, but then you just got to ask yourself critically in grammar speech, is the I supposed to be a subject or a direct object? Now, if you learn something new, I would love for you guys to support on over to Apple Podcasts and or Spotify, Latin and Layman's, and or TikTok too, to check me out on over there. Appreciate all of the support. I thank you guys again. I know that you're out there and I appreciate you. I want to shout out, you know, talking to one of my students here that's reached out to me recently. And I had no idea that he's been listening to my podcast on bike rides to school in the morning. And you know what? That's just what it's all about for me, man. To know that I'm reaching an audience and that you guys are still out there absorbing material. And I hope I can bring it in a very fun, and easily digestible way. So without further ado, I hope you learned something new, because tempus est discedere.